This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. If you would like to contact me, you can do so through regular mail or through my website, and I'll give you both of those addresses at the close of the program. And remember, this program can be re-listened to on the website, and the website does have a lot of information on it that you might find helpful, including a weekly meditation that I write. And if you'd like to be on the email address list for that meditation, just let me know. So I'll give you those addresses for my regular mail or for my website at the close of the program. Now today we're going to continue with our series on the miracles of the Lord Jesus, and we're going to look at the 27th miracle, where the Lord casts a demon out that the disciples could not cast out, and then uses that particular lesson or that particular event to teach them a lesson about faith. And it has to do with moving mountains, which is a problem verse in our Bible for many people. And so we'll just read the passage and try to see if we can understand what the Lord is trying to teach us with this particular miracle. Now remember, we're looking at these miracles because the miracles, the prophecies, are pretty compelling evidence that we have the Word of God and that we should believe the Word of God. And actually, our eternal destinies depend upon that. And we believe that if we have the Word of God and can depend on the Word of God, then we can have faith in the Word of God. Faith, Romans 10:17 says, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But the passage we're going to look at this morning is a passage that deals with a problem with our faith. Now, Matthew 17 and verse 14 says, when they had come to the multitude, and they had come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Now Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. I believe he's speaking to the 9 disciples that were on the ground while the Lord and 3 of the disciples were in the Mount of Transfiguration. And he calls them a faithless and perverse generation. Not faithless and perverse in the fact that they didn't believe in the Lord, but faithless and perverse when it came to believing in the power and the promise of God with regard to their ability to cure, to heal, and to cast out demons. And Jesus, verse 18 says, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, you'll notice that this epileptic problem is associated with a demon in this particular case. And I'm not going to try to take the position of being a medical doctor at this time, but one has to wonder how many times we have tried to deal with an issue medically when in fact the issue was a spiritual issue that needed to be dealt with. And there are many counselors who have found that when people themselves are willing to deal with an issue in their life that they've tried to cover up, tried to subvert with regard to their memory, that when they do that, many of the besetting problems seem to be cured immediately. So I believe that while not all epileptics are associated with demonic activity, yet I believe that there is often a time to counsel people who are having problems like this to see if there is a way that Satan has gotten into their mind and intellect through sin that needs to be dealt with, and if they would just deal with that sin, deal with that issue, deal with that problem, perhaps the physical problem would go away once they dealt with the spiritual problem. So Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, this last verse 21, has been left out of some of the newer translations. It's assumed that it was put there by copyists who wanted to flesh out the story. However, it does appear to me that in the context, it makes sense that that last verse would be there. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, when we look at this particular miracle, the question has to arise, how far does this statement go that nothing will be impossible to you? And how far does this statement go that if we had faith as a grain of mustard seed, which, as I understand it, is one of the smallest seeds that we have with regard to the agricultural world, if we had faith as a grain of mustard seed, we'd be able to move mountains. Now, a mustard seed may be small, but the plant that comes from it is quite large. So the question is, is our faith lacking when we can't move mountains? And I would just ask everyone here, including those of you who perhaps are more inclined to believe in the current operation of some of these charismatic gifts than I am, have you ever been able to move a mountain? Now, I've heard of different explanations of this. I've heard of people who prayed about a hill in their backyard that was blocking their view, and as they prayed about it, it turned out that a developer came along and removed that hill in order to develop a real estate development in the area, and the mountain had been moved. And I'm not saying things like that are irrelevant or can't happen, but that's not normal. And this was probably a literal mountain that needed to be moved. Now, the one thing you need to understand is that in order to have faith, you have to have faith in something. And we've emphasized that over and over again on this program. Our faith has to have an object, and the object is really the Lord himself, but the things that the Lord says are the things that we have faith in. Now, it's interesting that when we look at these disciples, they were given a commission, and that commission was found back in Matthew's gospel. He says in Matthew 10 and verse 7, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, that commission was given to the 10 disciples who ultimately, or to the 12 disciples who ultimately became the apostles, except for Judas, of course. Now, they had been told what they could do, and then they went forth and they were doing it. They were practicing this. They were astounded that they were able to fulfill that commission. So it wasn't as though they didn't have something to have confidence in. The Lord had given them a commission. The Lord had given them power. Experimentally, they had been able to do that. But now they come to this particular incident with this particular child, and they cannot seem to cast out this demon. And I'm just going to suggest that no matter how much experience, how much confidence we have had in the Lord in the past, there will become situations in our life that we will look at as obstacles, and we will have an inability to take God at his word with regard to those obstacles. We know that the children of Israel, they were brought out of the land of Egypt. They were brought across the Red Sea. They were brought into the wilderness. And when they got into the wilderness, after having seen the sign miracles that Moses had done before Pharaoh, after having seen the Red Sea open up, after having seen all of that when they were in the wilderness, all of a sudden they thought that they were going to be forsaken, and they were concerned because they had no water, and they complained. And we're just like that. We never expect the next miracle. And even though these disciples in this case had something to put their faith in, they had the promise that they could cast out demons. For some reason, that particular promise was not something that gave them confidence at this time. I don't know why that was the case, but they could not cast out this demon. And I'm just telling you that we're going to have situations like that in our lives, where even though we've seen the Lord work, even though we've seen the graciousness of the Lord, even though we've seen, in a sense, the miraculous working of the Lord in our lives, we're going to come into circumstances where we think the Lord has forsaken us. And when that happens, we should do exactly what happened here. The Lord said, "Bring him to me." And what we cannot do, the Lord can do. And even though they could not cast out this demon, the Lord was able to meet the need of this child. And we should always go to the Lord when it seems as though he's not fulfilling the promise that he gave to us, when he seems to be leaving us alone and without power. And so when we look at this business of them not being able to cast out the demon, but the Lord casting it out for them, they brought the child to the Lord. When that happened, the Lord gave them some instructions and said, "This kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting." There's some difficulties associated with this particular kind. Why could we not cast him out? And he says, "Because of your unbelief." So they had, for some reason, lost their confidence in their ability to cast out this particular demon, at least. And he says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd be able to say to this mountain, "Be cast into the sea," and it would move, and it would be cast into the sea. Now, I'm wondering myself if there aren't two ways to look at this. First of all, mountains may be problems that we seem insurmountable to us, and we may be spiritualize this, and we can say that if we would just come to the Lord with those problems that we can't seem to handle, even though we've been commissioned to handle them, the Lord will handle them for us. Because it's only with God that nothing is really impossible. And we know that nothing is impossible with God. And so I would first of all say that there's situations where we need to come to the Lord with our unbelief. It's also possible that this mountain may represent a kingdom, and that the whole of this miracle has to do with the fact that there's going to be a kingdom that comes. But before the kingdom comes, there's going to be a man of sin arise that is going to seemingly completely destroy the Jews. And it may be that at that time they need to have confidence that the Lord will not forsake those who truly believe in him. And it's possible that the whole of this miracle has to do with a prophetic fulfillment. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I'd like to look at it that way. But my confidence is in the Lord. I know that the Lord has given us promises. One promise is that if we trust him, he'll save us. And I am convinced that even when it seems as though the Lord has forsaken us, if we just come to him, he will fulfill our needs, and nothing will be impossible with him. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson today and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We pray for thy blessing upon our program and upon our listeners. In our Savior's name, amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com. bdcministries.com. And we do thank you for listening.